new Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lowry Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So let's get on with the laughs. Are you ready, fellas?
Ready.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. Our first joke this evening. Our first joke this evening comes from Harry B. Rosenbaum of Fort Thomas, Kentucky, sir. And it's on the subject of something I hope you don't get too close to as a pedestrian. Automobile. Automobile. So, Peter, put that new job of yours in low gear and step on the gas.
Well, this happened over in Brooklyn, and these two gals, Sadie DeKalb and Gertrude Gowanus, met on the street.
And Sadie says to them, "Oh, so hello, Gertrude," says them, "you want to come for a ride?" She says, "you know, I just got a new car."
She says, "Oh, gee, that's wonderful. Where'd you get it? At a Ford?"
She says, "A Ford? No." She says, "This is more of a Hirschfield, this car." Very little pickup and no clutch, you know.
Gertie went with her, and they're going along in the car, and all of a sudden, Gertie starts to get nervous. And she says,
"Gee, Sadie, this seems awful fierce. Gee, right now, how fierce are we going?"
She says, "Well, how should I know?"
"Gee, you mean tell me you don't know how fierce we're going? What's wrong with your speedometer?"
She says, "Oh, man, I stole the speedometer last week. I didn't need it no longer."
She says, "My goodness, how can you get along without a speedometer?"
She said, "Well, I get along swell, Gayfield. You see, at 20 miles an hour, the fenders rattle. And at 30 miles an hour, the doors and windows rattle. And I always know when I'm doing over 40. She says, "How?" She says, "Because my uppers and lowers rattle."
That one made the top. 1,000 on the lap meter.
Which automatically gives Mr. Rosenbaum $25 and makes our task a little bit tough for the three wits on the first joke of the evening. However, they're all in an amenable mood and they're going to go out after it anyway. Let's see if you can tie, fellas, anyway. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and I'll give a listen to Harry Hirschfield.
Well, Pete telling that gag brings the story up that's going around now about this old guy, 98 years old, dying. He's in awful shape. Now, so they figured he used to like to ride around in the automobile. He used to like the city. Maybe they take him one more ride, whether he'd pep up or whether he'd pass out. So they take him in the car, and he's sitting there with the nurse in the car, and they're going through the city of New York. And they go, "House half closed, I don't know." They take him by the Empire State Building, no reaction. They take him by the museum, no reaction. Fifth Avenue, no action. Lindy's Restaurant, no action. They go every place, stage delicatessen, no action. Every place he goes, nothing. And finally, a beautiful blonde passes. And for the first time, his eyes fluttered. And he leaned over to the nurse. He says, "Hand me my teeth. I want a whistle at her."
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
Zooming right up there and tying Mr. Rosenbaum's $1,000.
I nearly lost my own doing.
By the way, too, Harry, I love the old man's dialogue. Very good.
That's character acting.
Well, let's see. Both Senator Ford and Joe Lowry have a spot to live up to tonight. Who wants to step one
in on this?
Well,
no spot.
I'll get you next in. Here comes Joe Lowry Jr.
Well, this very, very businesslike man was running out of gas in a swell car, and he sees a gas station, so he drives up, and a very lazy attendant there. He says, "Come on, son. Come on. Come on, boy. Come on. Get a little push in you. I need some gas. Come on. Get a little push in you." The fella just lolls along. He says, "Come on. Push is the thing you need. I started as a little office boy. Then I pushed and pushed along. Then I became superintendent. And I pushed and pushed. And then I became manager. Then I pushed and pushed," he says. "And I became president of the company. That's what you need, son. Push, push. Come on. Come on. Get going." Well, sir, he says, it looks like you got to do a little more pushing because we ain't got a drop of gas in this station.
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
But Joe?
If I didn't, I was going to whistle.
With Hirschfield's teeth? Let's see, Senator, now it falls on your shoulders clearly and fairly.
Yeah, well, this one is not going to count. Oh. I just want to warn you, Ward. You know, there's always a debate as to whether or not women are good auto drivers. Of course, I think some of them are, but there's one thing about them. They don't know much about the mechanics of the car. So up in my hometown, a woman drove into the town garage, and the mechanic looked at her car and said, "Well, I'll tell you what's the matter with this car. You have a short circuit in your wiring." She said, "A short circuit? Could you lengthen it a little while I waited?" I can tell you, while these guys were telling those, I thought of three. There's another one. There's a dopey guy up in my hometown by the name of Homer Feamsby. Well, Homer, he went into New York and he bought a car. It wasn't a secondhand car. It's what they call a repossessed car. And about 2 months later, he went into the place where he bought it and he said to the salesman, "Did you tell me that you would replace anything that was broken in this car?" The salesman said, "Yes." He said, "Then give me three front teeth and a collarbone." And they weren't Hirschfield's teeth either.
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
We have a solid round.
And I thought I'll save one of those for the next round.
Yeah, don't tell it until we get there, will you?
That makes the first perfect round of the evening.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
All right, fellas, yes, dance once again here. To continue our contest of wit and humor, here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. Roy C. Funk of Greencastle, Pennsylvania. And the subject of this joke is feud. Feud. F-E-U-D. Not something you eat, Joe. Take it easy. So, I'll play Hatfield, and I hope you have the joke to McCoy, Pete.
Yeah, that's about two hillbillies, Zeb and Zeke, and they've been feuding very bitterly for 20 years. 20 years before this whole thing had started, a little matrimonial deal between the families that Zeb traded Zeke, his daughter Lulu, for a used bear trap. And after the deal was over, Zeb found he couldn't keep the bear trap open, and Zeke found that Lulu wouldn't keep her trap shut, so they had a big feud. So 20 years go by, and one day, Zeke comes over to the fence between the two houses.
He says, "Morning, Zeb."
He says, "Listen, Zeke, what you speaking to me for after all these 20 years? We're feuding."
"Well, I'm just over here to tell you that I'm running for the legislature. And I don't want you nor none of your fat-headed gopher-brain family a-voting for me."
He said, "Now, you look here. Me and my family's been voting this same ticket since Grandpappy came to these hills. And if you don't want us voting for you, you better take your name off the ticket."
There was a brief pause that NBC could have used for station identification.
If I wanted to save breath, I could tell you exactly what you got on them.
What I
got. Ho, ho. Which
that
is sort of a double...
That did not refresh. The pause that did not refresh.
No,
never mind. Let it
that
go.
That trap gag in there was really the good gag in there.
It stopped in the punchline. Well, anyway, Mrs. Funk got exactly nothing.
Don't blame me for throwing it away either, Pete. Kick at it, too.
So, let's see. She starts off with an original $10. I think each of our three wits might be able to top that.
I feel encouraged on this one.
Well, let's see how many hands are up. They all three should be there. Joe Lurie's the first to bet.
Well, a fella's out on a stoop and he's hollering, "Help, help, help, help." And the cop comes on. He says, "What's the matter?" He says, "I've been feuding with my mother-in-law for 20 years. He says, always arguing and feuding with her and fussing with her. He says, now she wants to jump out of the window." He says, "Well, let her jump." He says, "What do you think I'm hollering help for? She can't open the window."
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Which slightly tops Mrs. Funk's zero.
Take me off the ticket.
Unless Senator Ford's nose itches, he has his hand up.
You, that? Well, all right. Two fathers were talking, and one said, how do you discourage your daughter's young man from staying too late? The other fellow said, just walk into the living room with a box of breakfast food. Well, it seems that Finnegan and Dugan had been feuding. You didn't count that one, did you?
No, I think on your behalf I should have, but we'll make it a cereal instead.
That's a cream of wit.
Now, Senator.
Harry, you might as well take over here. Well, now I can tell a story about Dugan and Finnegan, who had been feuding for a long time. And one day Dugan said, Finnegan, he says, I'm better than you are because my ancestral background is a great deal better than you are. He says, I'm a descendant of the Boones. So Finnegan said, a descendant of the Boones. What Boones? He says, I'm a descendant of the Boones of Kentucky. He said, to me, you look more like a descendant of the baboons of Africa.
Well, you scored twice that time, Senator. So
we'll beat you.
As the second of our two whiskey topper, Mrs. Funk is still down there with that same original $10. Harry?
Well, give me a chance to think of a couple of them. I want to toss one in quick. Of course, the worst feuds in the world are family feuds. And they tell one about a guy walked into a hat store and the clerk said, what's your pleasure? He said, my mother-in-law's arthritis, thank you. I knew I had remembered some kind of a feud gag. The teacher had said to little Sammy, she wrote the word feud on the board, and finally he remembered what the word was. He said, feud. She says, now, do you know what feud is? He said, yes. Could you tell something about a feud? He said, certainly I could. He says, my father took me to his store one day to visit the store. The first time I was there to meet his partner. And his partner didn't like him, and he didn't like his partner. And every time they passed each other, they used to say to each other, phew. And that's where they phewed all day.
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Giving you three wits a perfect round and Mrs. Funk a miserable day. Well, let's shoot at him again. Our next joke comes from Mrs. Earl H. Anderson of San Carlos, California. And the subject of this round is something, and I'm not being personal, tramp, gentlemen. Tramp.
Tramp, so, tramp, tramp. Tramp's up here.
Well, if Pete does tramp, 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 then you boys will be marching. Here we go.
Well, this happened over in London. A pretty shabby guy went up the back door of a house, and the lady of the house opened the door.
She says, yes, what is it you want?
Well, he said, madam, I was wondering if you could give a hungry man a bite to eat. I'm willing to work. I will chop some wood or wash some dishes or perform some other little chore for you.
She says, now, get out of here. I ain't got no wood to chop. I ain't got no dishes to wash. I ain't got no hand out for you. There ain't nothing you can do around here.
Well, he says, pardon me, madam. If you haven't anything else to do, perhaps I could give you some lessons in grammar.
Retrieved the original joke from the last round.
And that was only 350 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Could you lengthen it a little while I wait?
We could wait for that laugh, but it's only a half-hour program after all. Well, let's see. That starts Mrs. Anderson off with $10. Just what three wits are going to do about it, I don't know. But Harry Hirschfield's hand is upraised, and we'll find out.
One of the funniest stories of a few years ago was about tramping around the world. And there was about a woman who had a wife. She had to go to Upper Montclair. So her husband told her where to get the bus. And she went there, and he didn't see her for 8 months. So finally she came back after 8 months. And he says, where were you? You went to get the Montclair bus, and 8 months later you're coming. Where were you? She said, well, I went to the bus company, and I said to the fella, where do I take that bus to Upper Montclair? He said, follow that woman. How shall I know it was Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well,
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Just what happened to the tramp in the story?
Well, anyway, tramp ticket, it's generalization, it's anything. Tramp doesn't mean just bum.
I didn't say anything about bums. Now, wait a minute. I said tramps. Was he hitchhiking on the bus or something?
Wait a minute. When you say tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Those soldiers are not tramps. They're walking.
You're not talking about the soldiers. You're talking about the
impact
of their feet on the road.
Unless I give you a lesson in grammar here, what goes on?
Apparently, from that round, you can stand it. I'm going to accept the joke, but give the lady $5 anyway. If it is, oh, yeah, Mrs. Anderson. Okay, Senator, how about you?
Well, Pete's reminded me of one, I'm sorry to say. Dopey Dildock had a picture of himself, and he showed it to Hockey Pop, and Hockey looked at the picture, and he said, "Is that a picture of you?" And Dopey said, "Yeah, that's me." Hockey said, "That's bad grammar." Dopey said, "I know it's a bad picture." That doesn't count, you know.
Bad joke, huh? Well, it counted.
Well, anyway, I'm not even going to listen to you on that one. Anyway, a farmer's wife said to a tramp who knocked at the door, she said, "Aren't you the same man who was here about a week ago? I gave you a piece of pie. I didn't expect to see you again." He said, "I didn't eat the pie."
Well, if that was it, Senator.
At least it was a tramp.
Yeah, you got a tramp in there, which makes me feel very happy.
But only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Which is slightly more than Mrs. Anderson's 350. So she still has her $15. And, Brother Laurie, are you
in
this
round? Tramp joke. I saw those books, 10-cent tramp gags. This fella, this tramp, rings a bell, doorbell of a farmhouse, and a woman comes out, a terrible-looking woman. She had according pleated teeth and cross eyes and a big nose, and a terrible-looking woman. And she says, "What do you want?" He says, "Can I have something to eat?" He says, "Get out of here, I'll call my husband." He says, "Your husband ain't home." She says, "How do you know my husband isn't home?" He says, "With a push like that, your husband would only be here at mealtime."
1,000 on the lap meter.
That wasn't tramp books.
Oh, wait a minute. Senator knows another one. Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, two tramps were hailed into court, and the judge said to one of them, "Where do you live?" He said, "In a vacant lot." He said to the other one, "Where do you live?" He said, "I got the room above him."
That book that Joe mentioned?
I was just going to tell you that's on the next page.
I had those dime joke books, too, you know.
All the boys will be back with another round of fun after a word from our sponsor.
Well, let's get back into business once again, fellas. And here's a joke sent in by Mr. M.R. Ackerman of Springfield, Massachusetts. And it's on the subject of something you can all take a swing at. Golf.
And miss.
Golf. So I'll yell four and you pitch, Pete.
Well, it's about Mr. Abercrombie Fafufnik. He didn't know how to play golf. But Fafufnik decided that he'd learn to play. So he got himself a fancy outfit and he bought a set of clubs. And he went up in the country and he joined the Watch Your Pivot, You Shouldn't Make a Divot Golf Club. So the first day he's out there with a caddy in the clubs and he gets to the first hole.
He says, "Caddy boy." He says, "Caddy boy, I want to quiz you a question." He says, "On this hole, what is the mileage?"
Well, the kid says, "That's 190 yards.
He says, "190 yards. He says, "Since when did they shorten it?" It says, "My old 190 is hardly a bolt. 190 yards? He says, "Let me see, you'll give me a club. Should be Epis Mine Potter."
The kid says, "A putter for 190 yards? He says, "Mister, you should use a driver."
He says, "Please, caddy boy." He says, "Don't make for me a Senate investigation with this thing." He says, "Please." He says, "I don't want the driver. I don't want the nudnik or anything. Give me the putter."
So the kid hands him the putter. Fafufnik swings with the putter, and he hits the ball, and it lands 6 inches from the green. So they walk up to the ball, and the caddy says, "Well, here's your mashie."
He says, "Mashie, smashie, I'll take a driver now."
Kid hands him the driver. He takes a terrific swing. He tops the ball, and it rolls right up to the cup. So they walk over the cup, and the boy looked at him. He says, "Well," he says, "you're right on the edge of the cup." He says, "Now I suppose for this you want a 5-iron.
He says, "You see, kid, the boy, already you're learning how to play the game." He says, "Wait a minute. This
says, that's right. Give me for this the 5-iron. So the boy hands him the 5-iron. The ball is on the lip of the cup. He takes a terrific swing. He misses the ball, but the breeze rolled the ball into the cup. Pupnik looks into the cup at the ball. He says, Caddy boy, you know something? Now I'm stuck.
Form, Peter, and beautifully told.
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
Giving Mr. Ackerman an automatic $25, and for the second time tonight, taxing our wits to the utmost, and the first hand I see raised belongs to Senator Ford.
You know, golf is a game in which they took the cow out of the pasture and let the bull in. Well, anyway, this is another tramp story, come to think about it. A tramp with an old blue serge suit with two pairs of pants went into a pawn shop. He said to the pawnbroker, what will you give me on this combination golf suit? The pawnbroker looked at this dirty suit with the two pairs of pants. He said, a combination golf suit? The tramp said, yes, if you look at the pants, you'll find a hole in one.
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
Senator, which should make you very happy, a ties Mr. Ackerman, but does not surpass his original $1,000. And, Harry, suppose you take a crack
at it. Well, a lot of women join golf clubs so that they can walk on the field with the men.
That's on the level.
So this dame, Sadie Drizzlepuss, joined this club, and all the other women hated her because she always wanted to play only with the men. And they'd always tell the score. This fellow did it, went around in 110, this went 140. And they all hated her. She'd always come in with the score. And this day they were waiting for her. And finally she came back from the golf grounds and fella said, what did she do? How did Miss Drizzlepuss do? She said she went around in 76. And the woman said, who? With Paul Revere.
Well, that dude it, Harry.
$1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Making this a perfect round thus far and dumping it right in Joe Lurie Jr.'s lap.
Jake meets little Montgomery coming back from the golf course. He says, well, how'd you do today? He says, how'd I do? He says, I got up on the first tee, he says, and I take my driver, sock it 200 yards. Then I jumped in my car, went over to the rough, picked up the ball. Got my niblick, socked it 150 yards, jumped in my car, went to the ball, got a little measure shot right up on the green, took my car, he says, and I put it out. He said, wait a minute. What kind of a car do they allow on a golf course? He says, a caddy.
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
I'm still going to figure that one out, Joe. A perfect round.
The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Well, it seems that's all the time we're going to have tonight, folks. So I'd like to ask everyone to join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Next week, same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Lurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.